Good to worship the Lord with you this morning and to draw close to Him, thinking about His love for us. That does draw our hearts to love Him back and helps us trust Him. And in the Scriptures, probably as many times as it tells us the Lord does to love Him, He also tells us to fear Him. And that's something that it's easy to lose sight of. We get a little bit too familiar with the Lord, I think, and not treat Him for who He is, a great God. So to share a few things about fearing God in the Scriptures. And our society has a whole bunch of different fears. If you were to take a poll, what do people fear nowadays? I tried to do a little something about that with the Google, with my wife's help. Couldn't find much recent info. But I know years ago there was a movie came out called Arachnophobia that tried to play on people's fears of spiders. And I didn't go to see the movie because I know half of my family have a great dread of spiders. If there's a spider, if there was a spider in this room, they would probably have to go out in the foyer there for fear the little critter would come crawling over. But I think the number one fear in our society is not even death. It's number two. We still don't quite understand that mystery. We know the Lord conquered death for us, but that's something that we think about, and if we're wise, we will consider our own death, what we'll be thinking about when that occurs, how we'll be trusting God or needing to trust Him. But the second biggest fear in our, the first biggest fear in our society is public speaking. And I can identify with that. Let's close in prayer quickly. Fear is a common condition of the human heart. And God wants to meet us at that level of who He is, especially. John Calvin was a great reformer in the 1500s. He wrote a lot about following the Lord. He wrote two massive volumes called the Institutes for Christian Religion. And had a copy of that once and lend them out. And the fellow is long gone with the books, and God bless him. But in the early chapters of those volumes, John Calvin writes this about people following God. He says this: "Notice the dread and terror by which holy men tremble before God, as Scripture uniformly relates." I'll say that again. It's a little bit of a 1500 language there. Notice the dread and terror by which holy men of God trembled before Him, as Scripture uniformly relates. In other words, if you go throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and notice the different times where people really got to see who God was and were close to Him, the general response was one of trembling and dread and you would call it a holy fear about who God was. He certainly wasn't taken for granted in any manner. And that response came to their emotions. That happened to a man in the Old Testament named Isaiah, for example. Isaiah trusted God, knew the Lord, and one day he was worshiping in the temple, and God decided to show Isaiah who God really was. And Isaiah's response was, "Woe is me. I am undone. I am ruined." Isaiah's response was he began to confess his sin before God, because he knew God was holy and he knew that Isaiah was not. And he felt the need of God's forgiveness in his life. So there was a holy terror in Isaiah's heart. And that kind of heart, the deepest heart respect to the living God. Another man that happened to in the Scripture was the man Job. Job had a terrible time in life with the loss. He lost almost all his family members, lost everything he had. And he carried that with him throughout the 39 chapters of the book of Job. And he struggled in his heart. Why is this happening to me? Why did you let this happen to me, God? And certainly, you know, we turned a page into a new year. And that doesn't mean we leave behind our, all the problems of 2005 are all gone now, because we turned a calendar. Well, the Lord still carries our griefs and our sorrows with Him. We'll make them holy to Him and work on our hearts in the new year. But Job struggled to trust God. And then God comes in the 40th chapter and speaks to Job. And Job's response is this. He said, "I will put my hand over my mouth." Did you ever do that physically when you were so concerned about God or what's happening? "I will put my hand over my mouth. I will say no more." Job said, I have no more questions. Because God, who you are, is so tremendous and so holy and even dreadful that you've hit me, Lord, in my heart at the deepest level of who I am, even deeper than the great losses I have had in my life. Lord, you are there beyond them. Lord, you get to my heart, mind, and emotions more than the deepest disappointments that I've experienced. That was Job's response to who God was. It was a holy fear. And it happened to a number of people in the New Testament. Just to give one example, the Apostle John, who was very close to Jesus. He was known as the Apostle of Love. He called himself that. The one loved by God, that was. Loved by Christ. So John knew Christ loved him and he loved Christ. He felt close to Jesus. Yet when John saw Jesus on the island of Patmos, after Jesus rose from the dead and was in His full glory at the right hand of God the Father, He was God the Son in all His honor. John's response to Jesus was this. He said, "I fell down like a dead man." He was overwhelmed by who Christ was. And the Bible tells us Jesus had to go and put His hand on John and say, "Don't be afraid," because John was afraid. Jesus didn't go over and just say, "Don't respect me so much." John knew Jesus was somebody not to be messed with, to put it in our contemporary language. And we can ask ourselves, you know, notice the dread and terror by which holy men of old trembled before God, as Scripture uniformly relates. And so we ask ourselves that question, do we feel about Jesus that way too? And do we have that kind of healthy fear of Him that the Bible teaches us about? I remember when I received Christ in my life, the first few years I was very reverential to all the new experience with Christ. I was very joyful, but also knew of His goodness. He was a lot different from me, I knew that. And a Bible came into our home. And when I would read the Scripture, it was almost like I was reading, you know, so careful even to pick the book up, you know, and read it, the gems of wisdom, hearing from Christ. I never heard these kind of things before. I never read the Scripture before. And so to read of God was something that was just an overwhelming time. And when I received the Lord, I knew for me it was a life or death situation. And you talk to people who almost lose their life through illness or something, and they say, "Boy, it changes your whole view on things, relationships and people and everything." And that's the way it was receiving Christ. It was life or death, especially heaven or hell, in terms of the Lord. Getting to know Christ in the Scripture, gradually walking with Him, studying His Word, you know, getting to know Him better. Pretty soon I learned that Jesus was a teacher. Well, I like teachers. Teachers are cool. Sometimes you listen to the teacher, sometimes you don't. That's okay. Thank you, Jesus, for being my teacher. And then I find out Jesus is my friend, and He is our friend. He wants to be that close when we listen to Him. I'm so thankful He's our friend. Pretty soon, Jesus becomes my buddy. Oh, you should check Jesus out. He's terrific. Pretty soon, Jesus, who's God's Son, and He's holy, holy, holy. I've got Him, you know, stepping in my shoes. He has done that in His humanity, but I began to lose my fear of God. And being a person, too, who had, I'm very easygoing in the way deal with people in relationships, try to be kind-hearted and those kind of things, casual. But the Lord lets me know, with Him, I can't be casual toward Him. I can't be easygoing toward Christ. Who He is won't let me do that. Who He is won't let me do that. And I know that the Lord is reteaching me to fear God in a healthy manner, to fear Christ, and to have a holy respect for Him. And as if He shows me to Himself throughout different experiences in life, it is a time to honor Him. Not to fear Him that we would run away, but to fear Him that we would honor Him the most and to love and respect Him the most. So, do we realize what Jesus was trying to encourage people who were following Him, His disciples, and they were concerned about all kind of things? Would they be able to be a witness for Christ? What would happen to hypocrisy around them and perhaps in their own hearts? And Jesus said this. He said, don't be afraid of men. There's going to be fear in life, but don't be afraid of men who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. He said, rather, fear Him who after killing the body can throw a soul into hell. And Jesus repeats Himself. He says, yes, I tell you, fear Him. And in the Gospels, you know, sometimes we water down a little bit who the Lord is, and we water down what He said about fearing God. We think, well, I think that means respect, doesn't it? Kind of a reverential respect. We have respect for the American flag. We say the Pledge of Allegiance. We stand up, hand over the heart. We respect one another's opinions, so we'll hear each other out. So respect God like that. I think that's what Jesus means. No, it does. He means something much more intense, much more significant. Do we realize it's up to the Lord, according to the passage, whether we even go to heaven or hell? So fear Him, said Jesus. You walk into a room and a doctor is about to tell you whether you're going to live or die. You say, boy, that doctor's something else, really. He understands what's going on in my body. The same thing with the Lord. And, you know, we have to get beyond thinking, well, you know, my understanding of God, I'm okay with Him, and my theology will save me. We know very much in part. So we can't take Him for granted, nor take Him and His salvation lightly. Fear God. And the word Jesus used that was written there in Luke is something we're familiar with. It's the word phobia. And phobias are not to be messed with, are they? I have a phobia in my life, a phobia of a fear of heights. If you were to ask me to change the light bulb, any of these light bulbs in the sanctuary on a ladder, I would start to be concerned. I would be very intense. I would try to get somebody else to do it. I'd rather walk from here to Pittsburgh than change the light bulb here in the sanctuary. And in terms of facing the Lord, I'd rather change 100 light bulbs than to face God without a Savior. Fear the Lord. A trembling and His holiness is something that's very, very different from what we're used to. And so, do you know Christ as Savior? Because He wants to be Savior. He don't want you to run away in fear. He wants you to bow to Him in fear because He loves us. And in Jeremiah, the Lord asked the question, should you not fear Me and tremble in My presence? I think that's a good attitude to have throughout the day when we walk with Christ. Tremble in His presence. Because He controls everything. And even whether, I know in my life for many years, and if I don't watch myself, it catches up with me. Jesus said, if you acknowledge Me before people, I'll acknowledge you. Why? Because we fear God the most. If you don't acknowledge Me before people, Do you really know Me? You know, that's a pretty intense yardstick the Lord uses. But it's been said that when we fear God, other fears that we have in life begin to go away. There's many things that people fear today, rightfully so. We're finite. We fear the economy being bad. We fear bad health. We fear the weather, tsunamis and hurricanes as intense as Katrina. And we say, we are very finite, dependent people. But the Lord said, fear God. I find in my life, when I fear God, the other fears are not so intimidating. My anxiety level goes down about life. And I'm drawn to Him more. When I don't fear God, you know what? I am a coward. I fear people. I fear things. I fear my shadow, ladders, whatever. You know, there's some people who won't come to church, unfortunately, because they fear others. They say, well, I don't know if I should go to church. So-and-so's there and in church. What will they think of me? You know, it's a fear of men. Fear God. You should be concerned. What will God think if you don't come to worship? See, fear God and respect Him. And it means to take Him seriously. It means not to take Him lightly. I saw a poster of a communion service. Simply said, don't take this lightly. Talking about what Jesus did for us. And we fear God not because of His condemnation to people. He came to rescue. But we fear God because we know He is the only one who can save. So our eyes are upon Him like a servant looks to the hand of the master. Or a maid looks to the hand maiden looks to the hand of those in charge of her. We do that because Jesus is the way to escape condemnation. To love God for who He is. And I think when we fear the Lord, we find a welcome by Him. Because we know we're meeting Him for who He is. And we walk with Him in a much more trusting, obedient manner. Krista sang the song, Amazing Grace. It's been said, too, the more we fear God, the more we appreciate our salvation. There's two ways to sing Amazing Grace. We sing it from memory, or we really sing it because we're so thankful Christ would save us. And the thankfulness that we have because of salvation is directly in proportion to what we know we're saved from. If we think hell's not a big deal, we were not going to go there anyway. Amazing Grace is just another nice tune. But if we know the intensity of God's holiness and our need, then Amazing Grace is truly amazing. And the song itself deals with that respect for God, that love for Him, and also being received by Him. The second line goes this, was grace that taught my heart to fear. And do you as God's people fear Him? And then the song goes on to say, and grace my fears relieved. The Lord comes and brings you close to Himself so you don't run, but you come and fall down and worship Him. As we have communion with the Lord, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves because that's a healthy thing to do. And just by the goodness of His Holy Spirit, why might we marvel and have a holy fear of one who would give His life for us. And say, this is amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, would die for me? And be close to Him in the service. Be close to Him in our going. And throughout our walk with Him this year, to say, oh, it's so good to love the Lord. And it is good, too, to fear Him. Because He's God and there is no other. And we have a heart to draw close to Him in this way. I'm going to pray before we have communion together. Ask that you just ask that you be at peace with God through faith in Christ. Don't know about each of our spiritual conditions. If I wasn't a Christian, I would say I want to be a Christian because of what Jesus did for me. He's my Lord and Savior. I follow Him. I trust Him and I take the bread and cup remembering what He did. In our prayers, too, could you remember with me some people who are in the hospital, Marilyn Bright, Fred Azevedo, Judd Schmidt, Herb Anderson in and out of the hospital, and other people who face difficulties, and ask that God would meet us in this time. We might know His love, know His holiness among us. Let's pray together.